Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey guys, Chris Loxamana here, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, letting you know about Podcast One's newest podcast, Carolla Classics. This is where I, along with Carolla archivist superfan Giovanni, introduce and share insight to the most memorable moments and best guest interviews throughout the entire Adam Carolla podcast anthology. First episode drops this Saturday. Carolla Classics. Let's go.
Ten years, hundreds of guests, millions of downloads, one podcast.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, no choice but to get on, mandate, get it on.
Mahalo for a decade of getting it on. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from True TV's I'm Sorry, Andrea Savage. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario brings us the sports with Chet Waterhouse. And now, the beer refreshing, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. Got to get it on. Got to get it on, man. Thanks for listening on our 10-year anniversary. 10 years. It's weird. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian, you guys get through this program in Hell Week's only going to be Heck Week. I love the way they cracked themselves up. Jeff Cesario in the studio.
Always
happy to see him.
Happy to be here.
As well. Much to get into, including Chet Waterhouse as well. I had a very interesting thought and a timeline that I'm going to share with you all. First, I'll tell you guys that this half of the show is brought to you by Zoom.us, LifeLock, LifeLock.com, Enter Adam, and Geico, Geico.com. All right. So I was thinking a lot about my old teacher, Nick Bernal, who came in here yesterday. And was
this is going to be every show.
It was a delight.
He had a lot to say.
He was a very nice fellow.
My woodshop teacher, Mr. Martin, is waiting in the wings. And Mr. Mendez.
The pottery teacher. Yeah. Ceramics.
Every Wednesday.
No, I was thinking a lot about him and how fast time travels and this sort of weird... I did not know at the time that he landed at North Hollywood High the same year I landed at North Hollywood High. I knew I had him for a couple of classes. I knew he was a young teacher, and I knew he was kind of a rookie teacher, but I didn't know he showed up the year I showed up. And I don't know why, but that made an impression on me when he was telling me about that yesterday. Also, I would seek him out because I was a bad student. He was an easy teacher, and he was a nice guy. And so I would always try to get...
The match made in heaven.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. He was like Mr. Bernal's, this year, he's only talking about the religion of Santeria. I'm in. I want his class. It wasn't what they were teaching. It was who was easier, who was cooler.
Sure. Right.
And I'd go to their class. And if you, I think every kid kind of does that math. So I had a couple thoughts. One is he's retired, which is weird because he's in great shape. He's nimble-minded.
Very young looking.
And I'm sure he has a lot to offer.
Yeah.
And I thought, why would he retire? And then I realized, because he can.
He can, yeah.
Because he can. Because, and this is not a judgment, this is who amongst us, if they got paid in full and were told to stay home on Monday, you don't have to set the alarm clock, the check will come to you. That would be enough incentive for most folks, even if they enjoyed their jobs or aspects of their jobs. You know, nobody enjoys all facets of their job, but they enjoy, if you're doing well, you enjoy somewhere between 63 and 89% of your job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Mr. Bernal enjoyed somewhere between 63 and 89%. But on the other hand, if you're going to get paid in full and you can stay home and do other work if you like or start going on hikes in the morning with your schnauzer, then you would do it. And that's what he's doing. And Well, I don't like that. I don't like that we give him incentive. Right. A guy's got a lot of experience. He's been in North Hollywood High since 1979. He's got a lot to offer. He's in great shape and presumably has some wisdom that he did not possess when I had him as a teacher when he was 26 and a half, and now he does. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. It's not the timber industry. There's no reason why he couldn't stand there.
He's physically up to the
and
task.
Teach for another 20 years.
Till he drops, is what you say. This man should
even
live his life.
Far after.
We can harvest his brain.
Continue to teach.
Until he dies.
He has a heart attack.
Did you run this by him?
I did not run this by him.
Weekend at Bernal's.
Well done.
Good. I'm saying that whether it's firemen leaving at 50, 50's not old. Nick Bernal's 61. He looks brand new. Yep. There's nothing he can't do, and especially impart wisdom in front of a chalkboard, certainly on his list of things that he could do. Yeah. I bet he could still probably do the balance thing on the barbell we used to do.
Does he want to do
those
it?
Years ago? Well, I don't see. My thing is I don't think anyone wants to do anything if
ever
you tell them you will be paid in full. And you do not have to come to this place.
Yeah, you're getting paid either way. Your choice.
There's probably a version that everyone would agree to, which is I'll show up in my pajama bottoms with a boner 2.5 days a week, sort of on my own schedule and not if it's raining. But they don't really have that. You have to.
That sounds like LAUSD.
If you're going to be a fireman or you're going to be a teacher, you have to sort of commit to X amount of classes or, petting X amount of Dalmatians and eating X amount of chili. So
foosball.
I'm saying that we have a system that takes people and basically goes, here you go. Make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to give you incentive.
You mean at a
to
certain
stay
age.
Home. Yes. Right. He's one of the guys who started at a young age.
Right.
He stayed, once in a while. My stepdad worked at Lockheed, and he got started when he was like 23 or something. And when he was 53, in a young 53, he was like, he didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't talk, he didn't do many things that burn calories. No eye contact, no conversation,
Sun
no
movements.
Money, no movement, no sure. money. At 53, he was a young guy, but he had 30 years in, and he could now walk at, full benefits, full pay. So it's like you're essentially saying, hey, you who are sort of in your prime and totally able by it, just go home and stay home.
But isn't that part of the deal going in?
It is.
I mean, a lifestyle that's chosen. I mean, I know a lot of my buddies back in Wisconsin. I came out here to pursue a dream. The dream continues. The dream is always ongoing. That creative juice is always like, crap, I should write something better than the last thing I just wrote. I mean, that fuels you. But for a lot of guys like that, they go, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get married, have some kids, work a job, love it. Enjoy the 63 to 89%. Then I'm getting the hell out. I like fishing. I like golf. I'm doing it. I think retirement's getting a bad rap right now because everybody's like, "Hey, why aren't you windsurfing? You're only 71." Oh, I just want to lay down. I'm okay.
I know, and this is so much better than your usual complaint, which is why is pedophilia getting such a bad rap?
Yeah, I know.
I like that you've segued to retirement.
I've rotated my bad raps. It's
so
Jeff's bad
glad
raps.
Glad that your crisis manager was able to talk to you. The thing about the retirement, neither here nor there, I'm not judging. I'm saying that in an era where, here's what I'm saying. I don't like the you've got 40 years in, you can get out, because you can start something at 19 or 22 or 23 and then just get out. And this, you want to work for Boeing or Lockheed, I'm not footing the bill. But if you work for LAUSD, we are paying for you to stay home. My feeling is if you work as a LA Unified school teacher or any school teacher, 61 ain't old anymore. And you go, yeah, but I got 39 in or whatever it is. Let's pick a mark like 75 or let's say like a driver's license.
Average lifespan 72.
You can quit. You can quit anytime you want.
You're dead, but the number 75.
All right, the Pleistocene era. Come on, damn it. Let's go.
Why not the Civil War discussion
there,
by someone who was physically fought in it, who knew what it was like.
You kids with your Glock 9mm.
We had to
stop and reload every time.
I like it.
I was there.
By the way, whenever there's one of those scenes, like when the Redcoats or the Kodiak Bears charging at the guy and he's got the musket out and he's got the flint and he's repumping, he's put the wadding in. I always think about myself in that situation. Like, I come into the house and the alarm starts doing the tick down of 1 minute. I plots myself, get in a fetal position, start screaming for help, and just call 911. I would do that thing, and I would definitely shoot myself before the bear got to me.
No, you just got to hit the bear with the gun rod.
It would never work.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I can't. If I pick up a universal remote and you go, you have 1 minute to hit menu, I'd just start throwing it around and pointing it and rolling the batteries with my thumb. All right, so this is a side note. I just think that a system where we say to super bright, super capable, able-bodied people, you can go ahead and start staying home and the check will come to you. I'd like to adjust that because 73 was an old man at some point. It ain't old anymore. We figured out that 40's the new 20. It was like sort of do the math on that one. But
I would say this, if you want to keep teaching, then yes, then that door should be open. There should be some policy where they take these extremely experienced teachers and we benefit from their knowledge of the subject and their knowledge of life and their knowledge of their ability to teach kids.
Yeah. Jeff, could you get back to your campaign?
No, brother!
Where you glorify vivisection.
I would like people to work until 103.
All right, so I was looking at this.
Then go skiing.
I was looking at this timeline, and I realized I got to North Hollywood High the same year that Nick Bernal got to North Hollywood High, which I found interesting. And then I thought, what was I doing in 1979? Well, I failed biology. I failed driver's ed. I was living with my sort of lackluster dad and stepmom that wasn't happy about my lackluster dad and or his lackluster kids.
Well, give yourself some credit. You were barely passing some classes.
I was barely passing Mr. Bernal's class. I was devastated because the one thing that I could hang my hat on my entire life was, well, the family's a mess and everything's a mess and you're a horrible student and you can't read or write or whatever, but you can play football. You can play football. That was the one thing I was hanging my hat on. And when I got to North Hollywood High, I did not start on the B team. My two best friends were Ray and Chris. Ray was on the varsity as a 10th grader. He was that big.
That's a big deal.
And getting playing time. And Chris was all league and started both ways on the B team. And I sat on the bench of the B team. So it was a very bitter pill to swallow. So the whole family situation was a mess. The school scholastic situation was a mess.
Yeah.
And now at the one thing I was good at, I was now failing at, which was football.
Your ticket out of the projects, going up in smoke.
That's right. That's right.
Right in front of you. Damn.
So 10th grade was a tough year for me, but it was Mr. Bernal's first year. I thought it'd be funny if I just bought off 5-year increments. So 5 years later, Mr. Bernal's a fifth year teacher at North Hollywood High, and that's the year I move out of my garage and into my Laurel Canyon apartment, and I'm working now as a day laborer on a construction site.
So you're both
site.
Hitting your stride, professionally.
5 years after that, 1989, got myself my 84 Nissan pickup with the vinyl bench seats and no headrest. I'm teaching a couple. Was that 89?
Well, it was still popular.
I was teaching a couple of comedy traffic school classes and thinking, I think I may be in show business. I'm getting $80 a class to teach traffic school, but I get to tell jokes in between. I'm living in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood across from North Hollywood High, hundreds of feet from Mr. Bernal's class, with my stripper girlfriend who I then announce I need a change of venue. I can't get started in comedy in L.A., in Hollywood. There's no scene. I mean, right. The scene is for the established people. I need right. a little place with coffee houses and a scene. You know, that was
smart.
I was sort of envisioning all the people who talked about playing in their local scene and then moving to Hollywood. Yeah. And I was like, I'm in Hollywood, and you don't start here. You end up here. So I had a friend who was taking some classes at Cal Berkeley, and he lived in Oakland, and he rented a house with like three or four dudes, like old house in Oakland. And one of his roommates had like went off to Europe for 6 months, and he had a bedroom open. And I thought, I'm going to move into this guy's bedroom. I'm going to the Bay Area. Like, I'm having a change of venue, and I'm going to start playing all these little clubs and things.
Take Oakland by storm.
And in the Bay Area, yeah. And I'll get my feet under me, and I'll get my stage time, and then I'll come back.
A seasoned vet.
Grizzled.
And in the only act of weird nepotism, my grandmother, who was this sort of Susan B. Arthur Anthony of her time,
like
just sort of women's rights and loved the gay movement and out there and brash and whatever, somehow knew the old woman who was running Rooster T. Feathers.
Sure.
Oh, well, damn.
Yeah, in San Francisco, yeah.
I don't know who this woman was, but there must have been a woman who ran Rooster T. Feathers in, where was that, Brian? You know.
San Francisco.
It's
like Mill Valley or something.
Oh, is it across the bay?
Yeah, it's across the bridge.
Oh, I always thought it was in the city. Okay, there you go.
She knew.
So you were handed everything.
She somehow knew the old lady. I mean, they were flappers together back before Flappers, the comedy club.
You young and, people of privilege.
Yeah. And I said,
Sunnyvale?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
way south.
Yeah. So she said, like, I think I know her. And I was like, could you call her and, like, ask her if I could do a spot at Rooster T. Feathers? And I had this sort of fantasy of, like, I'm going to establish myself at Rooster T. Feathers, and then I'll be a regular there, and I'll get my time. And sure enough, like, I was coming out on, like, a Saturday, and we had figured out that, like, on Thursday night, I had my time at Rooster T. Feathers, and I...
And you were commuting from Berkeley to Sunnyvale? That's a commute.
Yeah, but I had an 84 Nissan pickup truck with a bench seat and no headrest, so I was in great shape. And I drove out to San Francisco, or to Oakland.
I drove from the Valley to Oakland.
I unpacked my rucksack. I was sleeping in this guy's bedroom that was someone else's bedroom, and I was kind of working on my set, you know, like this. I'm going to do 10 minutes, you know, and I was trying to memorize it and, like, go over it verbatim in my head and everything. And that night I got into my truck, and I drove over the bridge over to Sunnyvale, and I got there, and I was nervous, and it wasn't like an opening thing, but it wasn't quite open mic. It was like, do grandma a favor a little bit. What was this chick's name, Chris?
I'm trying to find it. The earliest owner I could find is from 2001.
Yeah, I can't see it either.
Oh, okay. Well, she must have been a famous female in comedy.
This woman's name is Heather Barbieri, so I don't know if that sounds familiar. Maybe the...
Well, the fact that there's another female owner probably suggests that it's a daughter, or, I mean, if a woman runs a comedy club for 40 years and then another woman runs a comedy club, she may have sold it to another woman, but also that could have been the daughter of the woman or whatever it is. Makes sense to me.
Barbieri lineage.
So I drove out there. I went out on stage and... you tell me about this, Jeff Cesario. I had an experience, which was, I didn't bomb. Bombing is its own thing, and bombing you can attribute to a lot of different things. I just was like C minus minus more of a kind of what are you doing here than a bomb. Like a bomb, you can go, okay, I'm too edgy or I'm too out ahead of these guys or this audience isn't sophisticated enough for my... Right. This wasn't that. This was just not being very good.
Yeah. This was your time. Very first rough draft 10 minutes of jokes.
And it was four.
We're halfway decent.
It was a couple chuckles and not really. And I just remember...
It's exactly like my first time on stage.
I got into my truck and it was raining and I was driving over this endless bridge getting back to Oakland and I considered driving off the bridge. Like that was my thought because glad that brings you so much mirth, Brian.
I know what bridge you're talking about.
It was raining and I was like going, well, look, what do I got? What am I gonna do? I'm gonna go back to Oakland. I'm going to pack my junk up. I'm going to go back. I'm going to like slink back to North Hollywood. I'm going to apologize to my girlfriend or something. I had this thing of I'll go to San Francisco and I'll start fresh. Mm-hmm. I'll be a fresh on the rise comic.
And when you come back.
And it was always dangled out in front of me for like 2 years. Yeah. I was like, I'll go to San Francisco. Yep. I'll be a big hit comedian like Robin Williams, blah, blah. And when I realized, like after I walked off stage and it was like, it was like you eat at a restaurant that you never need to go back to, but you didn't get food poisoning. Yeah. You just turned to your husband and wife and go, we're not going back. That's how I felt about comedy. And I was like driving over the bridge and it was just raining and it was dark and there was no traffic.
It's like the restaurant when someone's breaking up with you and then afterwards you can't remember a thing about the restaurant. just remember, something else was going on.
And you just
want
to jerk the wheel.
Jeff, tell me about this. Speaking of restaurant etiquette.
Yeah.
I was with my wife eating out. It was a couple years ago, but we got the salads. To start with, guy came by with the giant Billy Club pepper mill.
Yeah.
And he held it, and he said, do you guys want some pepper? And we both said, yes, simultaneously. And he went to hit my wife's plate, and I said, hit me first. And I said, two reasons. A, I'm paying. B, I'm going to die 7 years younger than you. For those two reasons, I need the pepper first.
I need to appreciate the pepper sooner.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's my policy.
Were you afraid that in the pepper mill the size of his leg, there would not be enough pepper? And God forbid, you should get the first crack? No pun intended.
This is symbolic. And that's what you don't get symbolism.
Obviously not.
It's not about how soon I get my fresh ground pepper.
I think the beard excuse for that would be I need to try it first to make sure that it's fresh.
I wanted to send a message.
That 100% wasn't the
message. The message is I'm paying for these salads.
That's the message. You're going
right
to the
point. And if there's any charge for the pepper, that'll come out of my wallet, and I'll be dead long before you. That's so totally in fair. Terms of speed... Yeah. Who's enjoying their salad faster? Totally that should be this fella.
I think etiquette wise, you're on safe ground.
Now, and I want to say this is not a first date move. This is third and beyond.
Oh, this I would say this is
third,
a year
third
in.
And beyond.
I wouldn't try this until your potential wife knows your sense of humor.
Third is brazen.
Yeah, third is very
third
brazen.
Is, third is it's third and then beyond.
Wow.
See, anything that's what I would do.
Anything, everything after.
I would do this move coming from the New York Yankees of passive aggressiveness. That's who raised me. Is while they were putting pepper. On her salad, I would take the pepper shaker off the table and put that on my salad.
Oh. And lock eyes.
You'll have to dusty
to both
dry.
Insult the waiter
and
create some sort of weird doubt in my girlfriend.
Yeah, you'll get this. Good. Yeah, you'll put the old sawdust and kitty litter on yours so she can enjoy
right.
herself.
Exactly.
Speaking of etiquette, this exact same thing and insulting the waiter and all this stuff, I have no other place to bring this up except now. I was shamed at an Italian restaurant by an Italian man who was doing the Parmesan wheel. You know,
sure,
the Parmesan
stuff. Yeah.
I got something. It wasn't. I forget what it was, but it was a fish dish.
It didn't need Parmesan.
I wanted Parmesan.
No, everyone wants Parmesan.
He
I want Parmesan.
Me.
Like if I had an open wound and somebody came by and said Parmesan, I'd go, hit it.
Top
it
off.
It couldn't hurt.
It wasn't a fillet of sole. It wasn't like, it wasn't gauche, but I was like, can I have some Parmesan? Christy got, pasta dish. And I'm like, can I have some Parmesan? And he goes, no, sir, no Parmesan on the fish. I'm like, no Parmesan on the fish? The customer's always fill in the blank.
I just...
Again,
part of me.
It wasn't salmon, but like it was some fishy dish.
You know? There's a part of me that's kind of like when the chef won't give you ketchup for something. I kind of like it in a weird way.
Plus, you don't know the hierarchy of the help at that Italian restaurant.
I didn't ask for A1
he
steak
may
sauce.
He have his job and his life at stake.
That's true.
You know, but what's it to them? You like Parmesan.
This is a Mateos.
It could be a severe beating out behind.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The Italian fella told me that no go. What's the train?
The place with the train?
Where Sinatra used to go.
It's old school. Yeah. I like
when, it. When P. Azadora like came in and told us about Sinatra used to go there.
Rooster Tea Feathers was sold to Jessica Jenkins, who bought it for her son to perform there. Are you sure that wasn't Chris Carolla? Or was that the Laugh Factory? I know she bought. I remember telling her when I was 19 I wanted to do stand-up, and she said, yeah, I'll just buy a club, and sure, also I could use a dirigible, and she's like, let me get on that. So what was it then, Kaiser. Max? Did we find out who the old dame was who owned it back in the day?
I'm guessing it was Jessica Jenkins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
back in the day.
Well, look her up then and see if she's 89 or dead or 104.
She passed away in 2009.
She should still be teacher.
There's nothing really on the internet about her.
There's no reason she shouldn't be running a club.
There's nothing really on the internet about her. I had to hear like an interview of the founder talking about her.
Decomposing or decomposition is not an excuse for you not working the front door.
No.
Yeah, all right. So she died in 2009, which kind of makes sense. As an old lady, I'm guessing, would have been about the time, you know, grandma must have went somewhere in that neighborhood too. So she probably ran it for a long time, but we'll try to figure out when she was born or whatever.
Yeah, she ran it all the way till Heather, who I previously mentioned.
Okay, when was so. Do a dive on her and find out when she was born or any of that stuff. I don't know. I don't know if I'm Wiki or whatever. I don't know if they have stuff. Okay. Look around. Pretend it's there. That's my message for everyone. I have so many people where you go like, hey, go down to the car and get the whatever. And they go, I don't know, it's not in the car. And then you go, I think it's in the car. And they go, no, it's not in the car. And I go, go look. And then they go look and they come back and they go, it's not in the car. And then I go down to the car and I find it.
Sure.
Because the difference is I was pretending it was there and they were pretending it wasn't there. And then they go, I didn't see it. And I go, no, you decided in advance that it wasn't there.
That's deep.
You got to act as if.
Pretend it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
When you go look for something.
That's good.
I've had that happen a lot. But you have to have a bunch of people work for you, and you have to constantly send them to the garage or the car or whatever it is. All right. I'll continue the journey. No, you didn't really do that. But what I'm saying is you were kind of going, I don't know. If she ran that club, she ran it for like 50 years, and there's probably some article or something or whatever on her somewhere. That's what I'm saying.
Before all you assholes tweet me, when you type in Parmesan crusted just into Google, the second and third result is salmon and tilapia. So please do not tell me that she says no.
Dawson's got to weigh in.
Yeah, neither of which are real Italian fish.
Maybe not, but it's not like I said, it's just a ghost suggestion that's never been dared before.
Brian, I look, Parmesan makes everything better. I believe... The waiter should have put Parmesan on there.
But
I like the cut of the guy's jib.
Yeah.
I like the old school.
He's a principal busboy.
That doesn't make me want to not eat there.
My grandmother like this. My big Nana would, like if you put ketchup on her table, she would slap your face.
That is different.
Yeah, that is, it might be a little bit different, but I think this guy was working under the threat of bodily harm. There's a head waiter behind the double doors looking through it going,
and there's also, he looked at you and he thought,
Attilo is not holding up his end. Take him out back and beat him up.
Mitigan.
Yeah.
Which is a,
that's Brian.
You're an American.
Gringo.
Also, do you want this situation where he's having to explain to the couple who brought their Make-A-Wish son there for their last meal and ordered the rigatoni that they were out of Parmesan and were pointing at you?
I thought about that.
He wanted to put it in his cocoa. And now it's gone.
We don't even offer cocoa.
The last thing I want to do, Mom and Dad, is go to Mateo's.
He brought his own
cocoa
and then insisted that we put the rest of the Parmesan. He didn't say some. He said the rest.
I hadn't considered that.
All right. Let me tell you about LegalZoom, and then I'll finish my timeline here.
And you would get it put on before your date, correct?
LegalZoom. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But third and beyond. Please, Jeff.
He's not a monster.
Leaked. Sorry. Zoom.us. Video conferencing has changed business. In 2018, Zoom was the clear winner. Flawless video, clear audio, and instant sharing across any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile device. Striking HD video. 49 people can be on one call live on one screen. It is, the technology is staggering. Share anything from any device, Word files, spreadsheets, videos from YouTube, photos from your phone. It's all there. Just livens up the entire presentation. Even set up a green screen and create a backdrop for your client's logo or some exotic location. Visit zoom.us. Set up your free account today. Meet happy with Zoom Video Communication. Set up your free account today at zoom.us. All right, so 89, I'm driving back from the Bay Area with my tail between my legs.
Are we still doing a parallel timeline with Mr. Bernal?
We are.
Okay.
Except for he's in his 10th year of teaching at North Hollywood High.
And not considering suicide.
And not considering suicide.
I bet he's wondering when I'm going to not have to deal with these lunatics. Right. I think that's starting to creep into his. Right.
But at this point, he's got the lay of the land. He's popular. Mm-hmm. He's young.
Yep.
He's got a steady paycheck. And he's doing
on the uptick.
Much better than I 10 years after we both started North Hollywood.
It's 89.
Hollywood High, yeah.
La, 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 lasagna.
This plane's just setting the scene.
You put the Parmesan on the lasagna?
Oh, hell yeah.
Obviously.
Okay.
A healthy
just checking.
I'll confess, I don't like Parmesan.
Gotta jump.
Get out. What?
I don't like Parmesan.
Dawson, what was that word?
Why?
Amerigan.
I just don't like it.
What was that word?
That's not, acceptable.
Yeah. I never liked it. Never liked the taste of it.
How about ricotta?
Ricotta I love.
Interesting range.
Yeah, wow. Thanks.
Well, one's very mild.
I'm gonna goat cheese makes my throat close, so I can't have that. But the Parmesan, I just never liked the taste of it.
Oh my God.
Romano Parmesan.
Something wrong with you.
Romano, no Romano.
Romano's a little too piquant.
Pecorino.
Yeah, that's another thing you'll find in Italian families is Romano is served with certain dishes. Parmesan is certain. Served
that
with
is
others.
Correct.
Yeah.
Fish.
Wow. And you, how dare you put one on?
This from the guy who puts Kraft singles in side of his cannolis.
There we go. That's good.
Cannolis
got him kicked out of Kimmel's house. That's the greatest day of my life.
It's the greatest day of your life.
He has two children.
That's good. Dawson being banned from football. No, they're top five.
You have four best-selling books and two children.
That's good.
They're all, most of them are top five.
You won the Long Beach Grand Prix twice.
Doesn't matter.
All right, now the kids have been bumped out of the top five. You happy? Are you happy?
No, you should be happy.
What Kimmel did to Dawson is what the waiter did to you.
Yeah.
Shamed.
Yeah, mitigar.
But more humiliating.
Much more.
I was allowed to stay.
On a national level. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. 5 years now. We're at 1994.
94.
Bernal is...
Wisconsin is Bernal, was the Rose
sorry.
Bowl. Go ahead.
Bernal, I went to that with Kimmel.
Wow.
It was very drizzly at the Rose Bowl.
It started a little, but it was okay. It was Wisconsin beat UCLA.
Yes. We went to the...
21-16.
We went to the game. And I remember not being able to find... We parked on the golf course. Got dark.
Yes. It's somewhere near the balloon that says 21.
Yeah, had a couple of beers and staggered out. It was dark and it was drizzly. So, and we have no idea where his car was.
So great.
So...
15 years in.
20 years.
Oh, okay.
1994.
Gina's just trying to keep us on track.
What?
From when he started high school?
Oh, gotcha.
Was it 79?
No.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
15 years in.
15 years in.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Oh, we skipped
I thought it was having an aneurysm.
God, I'm looking at Max Pat. Sorry. It says 20 years here.
Oh. Rush job.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. 5, 10, 20. Sorry.
Go find a calculator down
we'll
in my car.
We'll go 15. I'm going to go ahead and adjust the next number that says 25.
Oh, yeah, I think I went off of that, so.
Yeah. Never go off yourself. Always a valuable, valuable lesson.
Yeah.
Noted. All right, sorry. you can bring the gin blossoms down.
How dare you?
Must you?
I like them, though. 15 years in, I am. I met Jimmy Kimmel, and thus the Lita and Reseda. 20 years in, Mr. Bernal's at his halfway point for retirement. Yeah.
1999.
At this point,
it's 1999.
The Man Show starts. And I did it all for the Parmesan.
Juggies.
Yeah. Love Lines on MTV. 25 years. I have to now deduct five from everything that's on
record
there.
Record scratch.
Yeah. Wait. Hey, Max Pata.
Hey.
The fact that we talked about Mr. Bernal being in 39 or 40 years the whole time, if you get to 45 years in, that's... Mm-hmm. That's
tell.
That's a tell. That's what they call tell at the bottom. I'll just go ahead and drop that to 40.
Rush job. This is an assignment that happened right before the show, so...
Well, that pregnant pros brought to you by ukuleles. Make any music sound unimportant with a ukulele.
I should have thought that. I'm sorry.
There could never ever be another scenario where I ask you to do something before the show.
No, right before the show, I was when I usually do all my other pre-production, like the rundowns and everything. I had to create this timeline for you and go through your book and kind of.
Yeah, you did a good job, but I called you how long before the show?
An hour.
Okay. That's fine, but what I'm saying is don't keep going back to the rush job, because this isn't about how come you didn't go to the library and find another book or whatever. This is about screwing up a number, which it didn't really have a ton to do with the pace.
Okay.
It doesn't help.
Right.
But what I'm saying to you is, let's not set the table for the next screw up with the rush job dream catcher over it. You see what I'm saying?
I see.
I feel like I'm sitting in an airport.
See what I'm saying? If you keep saying rush job, rush job, rush job, you're basically saying we may do this.
Mom hit
this
her
may
kick.
Happen.
This will not happen again. Yeah. My math shall be correct moving forward.
Yeah. Speed probably didn't help, but it's also 5. 10, 15, 20, 25. See, that's a rush job, but you can do it.
It is. Right?
You ever see Schoolhouse Rock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen it.
All right. Anyway, now where were we? 20.
Where is it?
Nookie.
Oh, now we're going to 25 years in.
25
so Mr.
Would be
Bernal. Chris says he's been in for 125 years at this point.
Wow. Such a learned wizard.
He's 25
man.
In.
I wonder why he doesn't want to teach.
Crank Yankers is in the third season, and that's the year we stopped doing the Man Show and went over with Jimmy over to ABC to start his live show. That's right. 09, 30 years in, Kayla's X show ends, and we begin podcasting.
It's pretty significant.
Wow.
35 years in... For my good friend Nick Bernal, that's 2014. We do President Me, and production begins on Road Hard and Winning. And 40 years in, here we are.
Wow.
10th year of doing the pod with so much stuff going out there. And this isn't an indictment of the system, and it isn't a critique of Nick Bernal or any of that. It's to illustrate how much lives can change or stay the same.
Yep.
Like, it's sort of depending on where you're at or what you want or what you're looking for. Yeah. But it's just dawned on me when we both landed there the same time and we both sort of finished 40 years later, it struck me how many ups and downs and different things and how poor and how rich and how everything else I had been and all over the road in that same period of time.
Yeah.
It just seemed
makes you think.
You
seemed
did
poignant.
It.
Yeah. Seemed makes me want to think.
And there's another 50 years coming, right? Because you got to keep working.
Yeah.
Because you love it.
Back nine.
I feel like
Well, it's podcast pension.
I mean, we don't want to waste the genius. You got to keep. I would
find. Yeah, I mean, look, it's
and actually, an artist
wanna
will want to do it. An artist would want to keep going. I mean, you know, that George Burns was doing stand up at 100.
Yeah.
100.
Yeah,
he's on stage thinking, I got to tweak that.
Mel Brooks, same thing. He still has to fly to Vegas to do one nighters.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I want to tell you guys about LifeLock, and then we'll do a little Chet Waterhouse, if you don't mind. LifeLock, it's tax season. Scammers are back. Never give your tax documents you're prepared. Don't give them the stuff in advance, and don't give them the stuff unless they are verified and credible. They want your information. They want to do it from China or Russia or wherever they are. They want to hack into your accounts. And there's just one way to protect yourself. That is LifeLock. LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. So if there is a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but there won't be a problem because you will have LifeLock, the industry standard. It's 2019, not 1979 at North Hollywood High. You need protection. That protection is a LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
All right, Chet Waterhouse, everybody, with some sports.
The sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Sticklers.com, the anal retentive dating site. NBA All-Star Game wrap-up. Sunday's game had all the tension of an Aspen farmer's market. Team LeBron won 463-390. Play was momentarily stopped when Giannis Antetokounmpo lost a vowel. Each team ran a play they found diagrammed on Adam Levine's chest. That NBA wrap-up brought to you by Conundrums, the drum set no one can figure out. College hoops. Duke superstar Zion Williamson sprained his knee. Coach Mike Krzyzewski said he'll be replaced in the starting lineup by two freshmen, Thor and Jesus. Alliance of American Football added two new franchises, guys. The Tulsa Ulcers and the Sioux Falls Fartstorm. They also added a new rule. Twice a game, you can just legally run up into the stands. That item sponsored by Airbnb. It's not an app. It's just a crowbar. Baseball. Padres offer Manny Machado $250,000. $1 billion. Machado said he'd go for a walk, step on a couple of guys' ankles, and think about it. Daytona 500, Denny Hamlin won by driving through a crash that made Mad Max look like a Hallmark movie. UFC, Velasquez and Ganu fight over in 26 seconds. I've seen better fights at the Firefest refund tent. NHL, more attempts to dial back violence. You can now get a 2-minute minor for scoffing. And finally, this week in sports history, the year 1979, the place, Iowa. Two girls' high school basketball teams played four scoreless quarters. Still more exciting than this year's Super Bowl with the Rams. That Waterhouse Update brought to you by the Marianas Trench Coat, featuring the deepest pockets in the business. If you want more of me this weekend, I'll be at Newark Airport calling the finals of the International Airport Gate Change Relays. The leader, a Utah family trying to get home from New York City, covered 23 gates in 49 seconds. That's dedication. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Outstanding.
Oh, the best. Jeff Cesario.
Thank you so much,
guys. Of course, Play With Pain, the podcast. I'm a guest coming up on an episode.
This coming week.
Wednesdays on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. I'll give you some dates. Or if you want some live dates, you can just go to jeffcesario.com and you can find out where he's going to be around the country. I have some stuff to share with you on the topic of suicide. I think... What do you want to do? You want to take a break, Max Pata? What do you want to do?
Keep going? Quite a tease.
Yeah. Wow, keep it going.
Okay. Oh, all right.
And why not keep Jeff in the room for the suicide conversation?
Yeah. The first thing before you kill yourself, I do...
Is it a to-do list?
Well, you know how I like to complain a lot about, please give me all the information, like give me all the information, and everyone's sort of... Not only do they not give you the information, it's a surprise to them when you ask for it. So we're doing this thing with my stand-up special, and it's at tug.com and there are theaters all over the country and stuff. And some of them are sold out, and some of them are confirmed, meaning they've sold enough tickets to put on the showing. But I'm sort of saying to people, what size are the theaters?
Yeah.
And so what the answer will be like, well, they're between 150 and 200 seats. And I'll go, okay, but Denver sold out at 104 tickets. And they'll go, yeah, not Denver. So that's how usually, that's kind of how my life works.
You're not wrong.
And so I go, well, I need to know how many seats are at the theater because we could be confirmed at 64 tickets. But if the theater has 200 seats, yeah, people should be encouraged to go ahead and do that.
Right.
They're all kind of in the 125, 150, 162 range, but for the place where we're actually the most popular, which is Vancouver, Washington, at the Portland Kiggins Theater, they have 308 seats.
It's a big screen.
I thought I would get that out there. We've sold 140 tickets or something, which is good. But if you're in that area and you think it's locked off, it's...
You can definitely go check it out.
It's not. Other ones are a little snugger, but you can just go check it out. I just thought it's a 300-seater. We'll put the information out there. Suicide.
Yeah, quit teasing us.
I thought you meant that made you want to kill yourself.
Well, I do want to kill myself because of... You know, they talk about stuff like sound pollution, you know what I mean? And you go, oh, so what? And it's like, so what? I don't know. I'm talking to my kids and I can hear a leaf blower like coming through the window or I'm taking my dog for a walk and the guy's blowing. And I thought,
it's quality of life.
It's screwing me up a little. It's not an attack, but it's like it's in there and it's having a negative look. If we live in a world where there's such a thing as third hand smoke, if there's such a thing as third hand smoke is what you get when a guy who had a roommate who was a smoker but died of lung cancer bequeathed his bathrobe to another guy who wasn't a smoker and then moved into another apartment but still used the same bathrobe. And when he answered the door,
is this an algebra question?
I can't.
When my son is selling Girl Scout cookies because he's closer than my daughter, when he answers the door in that bathrobe, my son gets hit in the face with third-hand smoke.
Wow.
That's what third-hand smoke. But in that world we live in, there's no problem with all the other negativeness around. And I don't like it. And I go to the airport, and I see the picture of the rhino in Salt Lake City, and it says, I am not medicine. And I think, I have to now think about a rhino and somebody taking a hacksaw to its horn in Salt Lake City. And I see a lot of them that have to do, there's the rhino from Salt Lake City. The other ones I love is all the white slavery and sex trafficking and all the thing with the hipsters and the SUV. Like, now I have to think about humans in 2019 being sold.
Traded.
into sexual servitude. And then the latest one, when I was getting off the plane at LAX, LAX has a whole bunch of signs that are just pure bummer inducing. And this one was, I think I had my...
It said, welcome to LA.
I wanted to slip my wrist. You have this one? Sorry. Put it up there. Let's talk about suicide.
In like fun colors and fonts.
No. Yes. Not at the airport.
Let's talk. Well, but what if you saw the rhino and the human trafficking sign, and now you do need to talk about suicide?
But what if you've been on the edge for a long time, and you're getting on a flight, and now you're thinking about suicide, and then you do something insane that kills 300 people on a plane?
Yeah. That's a good point.
And Michael Rapaport's not there to stop opening the door.
Why don't we talk Cinnabon, and we'll get to the goddamn suicide when we leave the airport. Let's talk suicide.
Now's not the time.
Devil's advocate. If you're a suicide bomber and you see that sign, maybe you'll have second thoughts.
Please talk. Talk a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Talk it
out
with
Benji,
who's up in the valley at some hot
We level. Have a kind of a thing where we go, well, we don't allow titties on daytime TV or whatever because the kids could be watching or whatever. We all sort of have this thing of like, look, we don't allow this because of that or it's bad form or we don't want the kids to whatever. How about the kids' constant bombardment of like suicide and white and human trafficking and rhinos being poached?
Elder abuse.
Like what? When did we decide since... It prevents no rhinos from being poached. Statistically, no one has been in a Salt Lake City baggage carousel and went, you know,
voluntarily
what?
Turned in their bandsaw.
Yeah,
I'm not going to the zoo anymore.
I'm not going to Kenya.
Here's my tickets to Rhodesia and my bandsaw.
Yeah, so what about the toll? What about the toll that all the bummerness is? I mean, now it's a nonstop bummer talk about racist and homophobic and xenophobic and all suicide and everything. What I know we're doing it in the name of sort of being a progressive culture, but what percentage of people pass the sign about the rhino poaching, pass the sign about suicide, pass the sign about human trafficking and sex slavery, and are actually engaged in that behavior or about to become engaged in that behavior? And then does it prevent any of it?
Any change of heart?
All it does is bum out the mass populace who has to go by the airport and actually now flirt with suicide. Yeah. It enters your brain.
In your sphere, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and when you think about those like post-apocalyptic movies where you're like, this would be shocking to us and everyone's just ignoring it. Mm. If you put this in movie context and it's all about suicide and human trafficking and we're just walking by
we're in a dystopia.
It's very dystopian.
Yes. The next one, I took a picture of other ones.
Jesus.
Well, this one Mike took a picture of because I stood in front of it and I realized it was cycling and it was sending new messages each time. The new message, the next one is your feelings are also your superpowers, which is a weird, it's just a sort of semi woman of color laying on a futon talking about your feelings being your superpowers. You got to blow it up a little, Maxipata.
I don't understand that.
It's kind of hard to read.
She's saying you're doing good, baby.
I don't know. It's more nothing. It's more nothing. Again, just sell the stupid thing to Pepsi and lower the cost of the flights by $10 or whatever. Your feelings are your superpowers. It's a chick who was recently date raped, laying on a futon. As far as I can tell,
the right idea. I need a closer look at this because there's a lot going on. She's in bed. She seems to be lethargic. She's on her cell phone in one hand and her laptop in the other. I think the idea is like, hey, the message should be get out of bed and take a walk.
Yeah, the other signs in Spanish. I don't know.
She's got the side of her head shaved. There's a vase of flowers that have fallen over on her bed, or
a perky periwinkle lip gloss.
Maybe it's a keepsake from after the date rape.
She's on her left hand is a pillbox, like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, gotcha.
Does her T-shirt say death?
Wow. Looks like it. D blank ATH.
I'm just saying, is there any sanctioning body to these things? Like, how about just a big smiley face that says, have a nice day?
Yeah, this is a much more complicated version of
it. How about give blood?
You know what's weird? These are all for Lululemon. That's what the weird thing. These are,
Go take a spin class.
Find me the next one, Maxipata. This is this everywhere or is it just LAX?
Oh my God. Everyone's going through something.
Jesus.
Wow.
What are we doing? Like, who's sponsoring this? Who's paying for it? Who's behind it?
There's a hashtag there.
Why he rise?
Why we rise?
Why
we rise? It's
we got to start it. Dawson, we're starting a new country.
This is like some sort of L.A. hipster religious pseudo religiosity spin on the Courage Pass It On billboards.
Where they had the
kid who's playing guitar with no hands. He's using his feet, Courage Pass It On.
Right.
This is some sort of emo version of that.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
It essentially translates to everyone's a victim. You should be one, too.
It's a disaster. I don't know what we're doing.
I think there's a core good message here, which is be more empathetic to your fellow man. But be more empathetic to your fellow man, I think that would be
This
more
is,
effective.
By the way, coming from the mouth of the guy who doesn't want teachers thrown out on the street on their 80th birthday with no pension. So consider the source, okay?
On the website, the first thing you see is a picture of a message that says, none of us are well until all of us are well.
I totally disagree with that. I'm wildly sane and everyone else is fucking nuts.
You know what Mr. Bernal was thinking in 1989? I wonder what my pension is. That's what he was thinking already.
All right, this is nuts. We've jumped the shark. Yeah, what's going on? Just put some stuff on there about giving blood or tire. Proper tire inflation.
Yeah.
Like just some good nuts and bolts. How about just use your turn signal? Mm. How about that? Turn right on a red.
That would be fantastic.
Fine.
How about all of these are driver's ed tips? All of them.
Because that doesn't make you feel anything. You're supposed to feel.
Makes you feel like using your blinker.
Right.
What I'm saying is it's good vibes are fine, but they're not the job of the government. The good vibes are what mom and dad do and what the place that serves the soft swirl yogurt does. You don't have to give us good vibes
but bad vibes.
These
are paid ads by some company.
This is from the California Mental Health Resource.
No, that's us.
These aren't even good vibes. Like good vibes, but
no,
have a great day today. Walk out of here with a smile. Right. These are complicated messages that don't inspire. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes. All right. It's a disaster, and it's right up there with all. I mean, it's a newer, hipper version of the stuff that used to drive me nuts on Loveline, which is airport safety or what your body wasn't meant for, airline turblance and blah, blah, blah. It's just a big, fat, nothing burger. It is the airport equivalent to click it or ticket on the freeway signs. It's a nothing burger. I want a traffic czar, but I also would like a PSA czar. Like I'd go, we got all this space. We have all this stuff allotted for. We have all of this outdoor advertising and indoor and electronic advertising. Let's get something done.
Oh, if only there was one man who could do both.
That man's name is Adam Carolla. All right, let me tell you, we got a quick call up there. Gary, 34 from L.A. Now, the good news is everyone walking through the airport's completely tuned out and staring at their phone, so it doesn't do anything, but it bums me out.
Yeah,
I don't like,
sucks.
I like hearing about suicide.
Effective, use of a message is great, but this is blurry. It's blurry.
This may be a controversial stance, but perhaps the person that came up with these fucked out slogans could kill themselves and we could move on to, giving blood and tire inflation and things of that nature. Gary, 34, from
Gary.
L.A.
Tire inflation is right under giving blood.
How dare you? Do you realize how many gallons of fuel we could save in Los Angeles and what it does to the environment?
If only air were free at gas stations.
That's right. Gary, 34.
Hello, Gary.
Did I punch him up on line 6?
Yeah, he's there.
Gary?
Brother.
All right, screw him.
Hi, Gary.
Andrea's here. We got a real guest. Geico, 30 seconds, everybody. That's all this is going to take. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Go to Geico. That is geico.com. See how much they could be saving you. Take that extra money and put it in your pocket at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, Andrea Savage is here. I'm sorry, it's the name of her show. Very funny show. Very funny lady. Also, I'm getting rid of Gary over there on line 6. I don't think he's coming through. Jeff Cesario, Play With Pain. We talked about that. Podcast 1, Apple Podcast. And I'll be on next week. And live shows, Nashville, Zanies, Thursday, March 14th. And go to the website. Go to jeffcesario.com and find out where he is going to be. All right, Andrea Savage in next, and we'll do that right after this.
Thursday, March 7th at 10 E in downtown Los Angeles, Corolla Drinks presents the 10 E Booze and Book Club, featuring Up on Game. I was wearing oversized creased solo jeans, a button-up short-sleeved flannel, black sunglasses, gloves, and a black and white hat. Patrons and employees looked my way on several occasions. Seems being dressed like a bank-robbing cholo while in line at a bank was somewhat suspicious. I looked around several times to make sure no one was creeping up on me, and then I heard it. A young woman's cheery voice said, "Next." One more quick thought. Walk out and say it was a bust, or just do it? If I don't do it, the homies will think I'm a bitch, I thought to myself. Can't be having that. March 7th at 10 E. Come out and enjoy a signature Mangria cocktail. Hear me read a chapter from Up on Game and meet former bank robber and guest of the state of California, entrepreneur Richard Stanley. Details on the events page at adamcarolla.com. Up on Game, available on iTunes and Audible.
Presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Largo, Florida. a 56-year-old former employee of a Florida vending machine company, stole $623 from a pair of kiosks he previously maintained while dressed in a Chewbacca costume! Definitely not a Jew!
Andrea Savage is back in studio.
Hi.
I'm sorry, the name of her very funny show, season two, Wednesdays, 10 p.m. on True TV. And if you'd like to find out all the episodes and past episodes and new episodes, just go to True, T-R-U, TrueTV.com. Good to see you again.
Hi, thanks for having me. When that thing came on saying definitely not a Jew, I thought that was how you were introducing me.
No.
And I was like, well, actually, three quarters, so.
Yeah, it's inaccurate.
Inaccurate. I was like, well, this is a very inaccurate intro.
How do you get to three-quarter Jew?
My mom is half, so then I get a quarter from her. She's half Greek, half Jew. And then my dad, all Russian Jew. So I got half from him, a quarter from my mom, and then a little Greek.
So if somebody dropped a dollar, you would just pick up 75 cents? Is that how that works?
Oh, is that like a...
I'm goyim, so
yeah,
I
yeah.
really am just trying to understand.
He's a shagetz.
I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it.
I was always a big fan of the Jews growing up in
North
Hollywood.
And then what happened?
I always still am to
okay,
this day.
You said it like biz. I always
we
was.
We need more Jews. Yes.
Hey, listen, I wasn't raised, so I... I wasn't raised, so I feel a little bit... And my husband, who is a big Jew... I feel like
physically large?
No.
Oh.
Hulking. A hulking Jewish.
Goldberg?
Hairy.
They come in small and large. There's not a lot of medium.
Not mediums, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. No, he's not small. He's a medium.
Mm-hmm.
He's a medium,
medium Jew.
He's one of the few
mm-hmm.
that you've heard stories, myths about.
Yeah, I've seen pictures.
But he claims that I use it very...
Conveniently.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like once in a while you need something, you call someone Boobala.
By the way, I don't think I could pull that off. Yeah. Once in a while I'll try to do some word and he's like, that's awful. Don't do that. So anyway,
now
I'm glad
he,
that wasn't my intro.
I'm very impressed by you and
oh,
find,
my goodness.
Find
Let's
that you
just
would,
end this year.
Yes.
Mahalo.
No, but you got to keep up with you if you're married to you, right? You're beautiful. You're
oh,
funny. You're
goodness.
You're successful. I mean, does he feel like he needs to up his game?
Well, I like to say he is not funny. So he does not enjoy that I go around saying that because he is like, other people think I am so funny. At work, I am funny, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I believe everything you're saying.
He's not professional funny.
Right. And that's why I tell him, I go, listen, I have friends who are legitimately the funniest people in the world. Like, it's not going to work out well for you. Like, don't even play the game.
What does he do?
I have to preface it. He is a lovely person, and he's an anomaly for this business. He's an agent.
Oh, I don't have agents. It's funny. I have publicists at the top
okay.
of all the sort of bottom mm-hmm. feeding and the worst people on the planet
yeah.
are the publicists.
There are good agents out there.
Yeah, agents.
Good people.
Yeah. He's a nice person.
Most agents I've found are just guys who didn't get laid in high school and they're sort of making up for it when they get older.
Clean it up.
Well, I will tell you, I've known my husband since high school. We didn't date then, but he also grew up in L.A. He grew up in the Valley. He grew up in Encino. I also grew up in the Valley, and I've known him. He went to the boys' school. I went to the girls' school. He went to Harvard. I went to Westlake.
Then they became
right.
one.
Oh, and then they
yeah.
became one. They became
yeah.
one.
Because of your love. Drew the school together.
Well, the union. The blessed
Our love
union.
Didn't start until decades later. But I knew him. I don't think he got laid a lot in high school. But
no,
not,
no, he did not.
But not because, like, he was cute.
Everyone says
But
that.
I dated other people.
But yeah, you're hot.
I wasn't blonde, interested.
And, no, I get it. No, I get it. But that it attracts, there's a little making up for lost
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah.
That's all.
And a Jewish agent? That's weird.
That's
I know,
weird.
That is
weird.
Yeah. I should have just prefaced it. He's the Jewish agent.
Right.
And then you'd be like, oh, Jeremy.
Yeah.
His last name's not Savage, but I love that you just called him Jeremy Savage.
I'll go a long way at work, I'm sure.
The episode I wanted to talk about was yeah. one, because this is torn from the pages of your life.
A lot of them are, yeah.
You saw a couple of ladies of the night perhaps making out by a swimming pool?
Well,
Yeah, I was just asked about this. I actually don't think I've ever told the real story of it. On the show, we see lesbians making out by the pool, and well, we thought we're just a lesbian couple, and then it turns out that they're prostitutes, and you know, and then I go into how much would. By the way, I think this is an interesting thing because I would love to know your opinion if somebody said what, how much do you think you would get as a prostitute, Gina, per night?
Okay.
Like, let me get my pen.
Oh, Gina would be an escort.
Thank you. But I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
what
prostitute
is your...
I think a streetwalker.
Yeah, that's what you have to decide. Okay.
Well, you can't rent me by the hour. It's all
night.
Yeah,
evening. Yeah.
I'm an all night affair. Right. That's what my thing is. I bring a lot to the table. I bring my personality. I think I bring a class.
People
to
like
level.
To open up to you. Yes. That's like you're a psychiatrist at that point.
Yeah, it's like full service. I will tell you that I asked my husband, and he thought he was giving me a very high number. I did not find it flattering.
There's no good answer for this.
He said $250.
Oh, that's your money's on the dresser, sweetie.
But let me preface. That was for a blowjob, sweetie.
The tip.
That
that's
was
the tip.
That was an insert.
By the way, also know he has no clue what... I was like, are you out of your mind?
Come on, Jeremy Savage.
So offensive.
And he was like, well, how much did you think? And I, no joke, was like, honestly, $10,000 minimum.
Minimum.
He was like, people don't spend that much money. But also, I don't think I had made it clear it was all night and it was like a full escort situation. I just said, how much would I make as a prostitute?
Let me see if I can tally up some of these numbers.
Oh, no.
Right.
The amazing sense of humor and, you know, knowing Zach Galifianakis. And
Does that up my number?
Well, I'm saying you're factoring in the pillow talk.
Zach's not coming to the event.
He's the John. He's actually Pei. He's actually the John in this situation.
Call her up.
No, I'm saying, what I'm saying is this guy's a Persian businessman. He doesn't need the part where you're whip smart and super funny. You know, he doesn't get all the jokes.
So okay.
I'm going to back that out of the equation. Ooh,
that's okay. Big. I feel like that's going to really cut into my asking for added value.
You're both very attractive women. So I think we have to just ride on that. The personality.
But when you close your eyes, everyone looks the same. So to them.
Yeah, but you close your eyes and you're picturing the person you're currently banging oftentimes. And so it factors in. Mm-hmm.
I decided mine was all, I was going to create a mystique because I couldn't compete just in terms of what my services I'm offering. It's not going to be as good as
the basic package.
The basic package. Let's not get crazy. So I decided if I became like, it's all word of mouth. Like, you have to know someone who knows me. Like, a restaurant that doesn't have a sign.
But like menu.
Off the menu. Speakeasy.
Like, you don't even... Yes, I'm a speakeasy. You don't even know necessarily what I do, but then you're like, somebody tells you, but it's almost like you're not even supposed to know.
Do we have a sliding scale? I mean, you saw Pretty Woman. There's a, you know, a 40-year-old Richard Gere comes pulling up in a Lotus Esprit. I'm not dropping
my price, if that's what you're asking.
Well, when Harvey Weinstein rolls into town, are we raising the price? Like, I feel like I'd be a lot of wiggle room there for me personally as an escort.
I'm going to reserve the right to decline customers as well as my mystique. I don't just take everyone who wants me.
Yeah. So you're the bouncer at the speakeasy also.
I'm also like, I have to accept you for the night.
No shirt, no shoes.
Let me explain my politics.
Okay.
If you're a Christian bakery and you don't want to bake a cake for a gay couple, that's fine. This is way out of line.
This is controversial.
You must have sex with everybody.
Every single person.
All the time.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Fair.
That's my politics.
Well, then the price is going to be exorbitant.
So you'll have like a little laminate you keep in your purse where you go down it.
We can
find Weinstein on it and gear at the top. Right. And slide it over.
I don't want to have to go through it verbally. I just go read this and then we'll discuss.
The tough part with dudes is if we're going to be prostitutes, we have to be with other dudes, which is a little bit of a game changer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might get lucky and just get with a, you know, semi-hairless young buck who works out a lot.
You're going to get like $15.
Maybe. Yeah.
And that's I'm not making a judgment on you. I'm just saying I don't think a man's going to pay.
No.
That's the rate that
much. Well, they can get it for free.
They can get it so
quickly.
They don't
need me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have Grindr.
So you were poolside.
Sorry. I was poolside, yes. This happened a couple of years ago. A friend of mine was writing an article for, I can't remember if it was Fortune or Forbes magazine. She's a writer and a journalist, and was writing a story about the pool culture in different hotels, whatever. So she went to Vegas. I said, oh, I'll meet you there. We were staying at the Hard Rock. And it was, I don't even remember what year it was, but it was like probably like a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to like get at the pool. We had to like sit at the pool, and we got these lounge chairs right at the water's edge, which is sort of like a fake beach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. good real estate.
It was good real estate. We had two chairs right there, and these two women sit on the two chairs to my right and don't really think about it, whatever, and look over, and they are making out. And but not like, oh, this is a couple, but like in a real showy way, mm-hmm. like really demonstrating
part of the show,
part of a show. And so I'm looking over there, and they start feeling each other up and, you know, sort of taking off other little layers of clothes and doing stuff right next to my head. Like they were like maybe 8 inches from my chair. Mm-hmm. So now there's a little bit of an audience forming in the water watching these two.
Yeah.
There is a potential customer who takes the bait, comes over. They give him a little sample. They kind of touch him a little and this and that. Mm. He has definite boner in his bathing suit. Mm-hmm. And she goes to then ask her pimp if the number he is offering is okay. Her pimp is not like walking distance. She had to get in the pool and swim across the pool.
That's good.
So in front of all these people, she gets in and sort of just paddles on over to this guy across the pool. He says no. She has to paddle back.
Do you have any idea what the number is?
I couldn't hear the number. Trust me, if I knew the number, I would be basing my number. All my calculations would have a whole new
meaning.
You
got to adjust. Yeah, they say no pimp is an island. But
In this case. So she has to swim back over. And then I don't know if you know how, I mean, you know how hard it is to stand up out of a beach water, like on the sand.
It's awkward.
It's awkward. She has to awkwardly get out of the water, come over, tell the guy no, ask for more money. He says no.
Mm.
So they lose their customers. So now they decide they're going to up their game.
Oh, no.
So I'm kind of reading my book. I'm just like, okay, whatever. Obviously glued to every second what's happening, but sort of pretending I'm not. The next thing I know, one of the girls is performing oral sex on the other girl next to my head.
Wow.
In the open, out
in
at the hotel.
Open. It didn't happen for long. Like, they were kind of making out and this and that. Goes down. Just like, I literally was, and I mean, there at this point was maybe 100 people circled in the pool. Like, it was a, you know, some sort of like bear fighting incident. I don't know. And they're just all staring at these two women. And they're just like, well, we lost our first one. We got to speed this up. Another guy comes over. The whole thing happens again. She gets back in the pool. Poor thing. Swims across to the, everyone's watching too. Like, the crowd sort of parts for her to like have to swim on over.
Would it kill him to stand closer?
When I say that's my biggest takeaway from the entire event was, why is he not standing closer? He could have stood 10 feet behind them next to like the little like area where you ordered a drink.
Yeah.
Could have been 1,000 other places. They did accept the number.
Oh.
They did all, and the three of them got up and walked away.
Wow. It's a nice ending.
So
happy ending, as it were.
These guys just sort of come in, and probably this is the grift. I mean, they just do this every time. And the hotel.
That's what.
Kind of likes the action or doesn't like the action.
I think they must, because this was not subtle. This was, you would have thought that somebody would be like, hey, you can't do that here.
There's a way to 69 poolside in a commercial location that doesn't scream, hey, look at me, right? Yeah. We've all been there with kids.
This was not that. This was not that.
This was not that.
The less discreet.
This was not that.
Not that particular version of 69ing by a pool.
Or any commercial facility.
Or any commercial facility.
I'm not
obviously. Yeah. So, but in the show, it only became my husband's character, and I was seeing this happen. But that is the real story. I've never told that story before in public.
Wow.
Whereas anyone eyeing you, like, when's the stuck-up chick going to get involved since you were right there?
I don't think so.
She's that tight ass.
I think it was clear that my friend Lee and I were just like, just we're like two nerds from Cornell. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're just like,
your face is buried in Gone Girl.
Totally. We're just like, had to have looked. I don't, I my face
suppressed
is not subtle.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was just like, I can't even imagine. Yeah. Just full shock. And in delight also at the same course, obviously.
Women are, they have so much more range than men. Like, you couldn't. You know, I'm sure neither one of those women would consider herself a lesbian, mm-hmm. but no. she can still make out with a chick. No, no harm, no foul.
And do you think this was business? This was just advertising their wares.
Right, but I couldn't just blow Loxamana because it was business. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'd like to.
Well, they're partners.
Well, I'm saying is it for straight dudes, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be able to just do this and go,
you suck.
What I'm saying is we don't have that kind of range. I don't think straight guys who wanted to be with women or who were with women sexually could just go, hey, let's just blow each other poolside and then we'll go
again,
to the room. I mean, they could do it physically, but they wouldn't find as many takers.
But I also don't think this is the line of work for that because it's a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I also think if that was your line of work, you'd be a very different person, and then you'd probably have different views on whether or not you would blow someone through the pool.
You suck.
I feel like you have to put yourself in that person's brain.
You guys think about this.
All right.
I have heard stories now and again about, like, models, supermodels, people you know, like recognizable faces, mm-hmm. being in some sort of $100,000 club or something,
okay,
like
I buy
a,
it.
Hey, kind of a one night, mm-hmm. you'll go, whatever. And look at it as you too place a corporate gig every now and again. You know what I mean?
Gig.
Like they don't want anyone to know, but when someone's Sultan the Brunei is going to give them $5 million to play for the kid's birthday party, like they do it.
They're
they don't talk about it. You don't know about it, but it gets done.
The private flight to UAE is included. That's part of that.
Right.
I don't know.
Have you guys ever heard any of that stuff?
I don't know that I've heard it, but I don't question it.
I
question
really?
It.
Really?
I'm going to take the little bit of the feminist. I feel like that's an easy story to sort of be like, that woman, of course she fucks some guy for whatever. I feel like the women who have who are successful enough, if that is their way that they're going to use their look, just dates somebody very wealthy.
But if you're a super, super top high-end model and you have that kind of relationship with your agent or whatever, and they take you aside and they're like, look, off the record, this guy would like to meet you. That's all I'm saying. And he has a price. Would you like to meet him? Okay. Yeah,
I want to live in the world.
I feel like you should be that agent.
Yeah.
You should be. You're in the wrong business.
By the way,
I was
right.
in.
Sex agent.
I should be more in networking.
You and Jeremy Savage.
All right, let me tell you.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
Savage and grad.
About TrueCar. There's the firm. TrueCar, 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial lasts. What else can you do in 1 minute and get an offer on your car? Just go to TrueCar from your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, watch your car's details pop up, answer a few questions, you'll get an accurate true cash offer from your local TrueCar certified dealer. Bring in your car, they'll check it out with you, do it together, ask questions, get answers, no surprises, and you can leave with a new car, you can leave with a used car, you can trade in your car, or you can walk out of there with a check. Any way you want to do it, you go with TrueCar. So when you're ready for a better experience, sell your car, trade in your car, new car, used car, you always check out TrueCar. That is TrueCar. All right. Let's see. Let's take ourselves a quickie break, and we'll come back and do the news with Gina Grant.
Hey, ACS fans, Lynette here. Lasagna baker extraordinaire and lover of all carbs that Adam can't eat. Pussy. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that space is filling up for the Corolla Family Barbecue. It's filling up fast. Turns out tons of people are interested in coming to the studio to see where the podcast is recorded and hang out for dinner in the parking lot with everyone from the network. Everyone you guys love. Adam, Gina, Brian, Dawson, myself, lackeys, drinking, grilling, talking to you guys all night long. Ba-beep, ba-beep. So if you want two tickets to the barbecue, there's only one thing you can do. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and sign up for the 12-pack case club now, because spots are going fast, so you got to hurry. So come join us for the Corolla Family Barbecue June 22nd at the ACS Studios, exclusively for our 12-pack Case Club members. We love you guys.